Are you ready, kids?
Aye, aye, Captain!
Look at me, sure. I'm the captain now.
Welcome to the Supercoach Co-Captains Podcast.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Supercoach Co-Captains Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Dano, and with me as always, we have Paddo. Welcome, Paddo.
Yes, hello, Dano. Hello, listeners. Wow, what a fucking round. And personally, somehow I managed to dodge most of it, but there would be some teams that would be absolutely scuffed right now. So let's try and help the people, Dano.
Yep. Just before we go on to our group winner, Paddo, how many ranking positions did you jump? Because I only got in the 2200s, and I still went up about 1,500 spots. So judging by your score, you would have gone up a fair bit.
Yeah, so I jumped 15,685 spots.
Fuck me, dish.
Into 8,000th.
Wow. Anyway, that leads us to the group winner, Paddo, which is yourself and your team, Dusty4PM, with a big 23.99. Who did you have?
So I had to see on Luke Ryan, which is obviously a nice way to cap off the weekend.
Yep, yep.
The normal shit house Sunday was actually really good for me personally. But yeah, obviously Luke Ryan's 197. I had Nick Dacos, so he debuted in my club for a nice 150. Didn't have the VC on him, however. Yeah, I've got Bontempelli, Caleb Sarong, Jack Steele, held him, and he did fine. Darcy Wilson managed to get his 126. Clayton Oliver, who I brought in a couple of weeks ago, I was just a bit early on that one, but he's looking good, and we'll no doubt talk about him, Dano.
Yep.
English and Grundy in the ruck line, so they were nice for me. Sam Flanders and Heaney up forward, like everyone have. This could have been a higher score as well, Dano, I must say, because Shea Bolton got just 36 for me, and Jack McRae, wow, even though Libba is almost in a fucking funeral home, just got 81. And Luke Jackson, after Sean Darcy got subbed, only got 86. So could have been a lot more, but alas, I can't complain because I did win the weekly group prize for this week, because mainly because I don't have Tom Green, really, or Elliot Yeo, so that is helpful.
Yep. Yeah, well, since you mentioned Tom Green, we'll go on to injuries and suspensions. So Tom Green, ankle, he's listed as a test, but word is coming out that he will likely not play this week and will be back next week.
So that's actually interesting, Dono, because I saw on X today that he said on a podcast that he feels confident that he'll play. But I think you'd be silly to risk it.
I think you'll find that podcast he said he's unlikely to play.
Right. Well, we'll see.
Yeah.
At least they play relatively early in the weekend, so there's time to sideways and, manoeuvre things.
And they'll bring in Cornelio straight away for him.
Yes.
Nice, handy little replacement there. Next one, Elliot Yeo. I'm sick as a dog, by the way, listeners. I'm struggling right now. If I cough, I cough. Elliot Yeo, groin 1 to 2 weeks. But as we know, with these types of things with Yeo, 1 to 2 weeks could stretch out to 4 to 5, could stretch out to 6 to 7. So do people trade, Paddo? I say yes.
For me, it probably depends on the rest of your team. But the guy has gone up 155K since his starting price. He's averaged you 113. I think you jump off, and there's plenty of really good options for even cheaper than that that will actually net you some profit. And I don't think now that his groin has started playing up, I don't think you can ride that. I think, obviously he'll miss however long he's going to miss with this injury, but he'll get subbed out of games. Now that it's gone, I just think it's going to be bad news. So I think you jump off. This is the reason why I didn't like – it was hard ignoring him, averaging 120 for most of the season, but ultimately this is why you avoid these sort of guys.
Yeah. Yeah. One that's not on here was what's his name? Fucking Nat Fyfe, because he started as the sub, and that was a lot of carnage as well, Paddo.
Yeah, so I was lucky that I had a bit of a hunch. So I switched Nat Fyfe into my midfield. And, obviously when he was named sub, I just put someone else on field. I can't remember who I put on field because my team is after trades, but might have been like, oh, no, it wasn't Hugo Garcia. Who was it? Oh, it doesn't matter. Someone that scored
Anyway.
more than 17, let's put it that way.
Yeah, so I'm just saying I'm ahead in my Fife to McRae trade right now. So fuck you all. Fuck you all.
And until you see Nat Fife coming off basically a rest.
And
yeah.
Pops out a 150 and then McRae just does an 80.
I still maintain that the way the forward line is right now, there's a possibility that Nat Fife could turn into a keeper. And he would be probably great alternating with Shea Bolton at F6, F7, and having a Livingston or non-playing sort of bench guy just to loophole them every week and whoever plays first. You just see, because both of them can score 60 or 160.
Yeah, true. True that. Anyway, I'll move on to Connor Rosie, Hammy, 1 to 2 weeks, fucking, I've forgotten his name, Dickhead Hinckley.
Ken Hinckley.
Fucked up, but he's done good for super coaches if you don't own Rosie, because he'll drop a lot of money come his buy, and then he's got the good buy, so yeah.
Yeah, but he's playing a half forward role. I don't love it, but yeah, obviously we'll talk about that.
The only thing that I don't like about it is the horny one, Jason Horne-Francis. Hinckley realised that a 60-40 split for him is best, and that's where he made most of his points, but now he's probably going to play sole midfield and still won't get that forward status that I'm craving.
I don't think he will get more midfield time because they've got Willem Drew, Zach Butters, and Ollie Wines. There's
a sweet. I hope they do a 60-40 split with him then and gets that forward status. Yeah. Boy. Tom Liberatore, concussion out for indefinite leave because he's had two concussions within the space of however many weeks, even though they claim that the first one wasn't a concussion. Turns out it was now. Don't know why no one's looking into that. People are talking about him retiring, Pato.
Yeah, it's not good. If you've got him, you've got to trade him out. Yeah, obviously, though, it goes past footy. Hopefully, he is doing all right and prioritises himself and the longevity of his life and doesn't suffer a similar fate to a lot of people that have suffered from bad concussion symptoms for the rest of their life. So,
yeah. Jordan Sweet, the sweet one. So this is a really peculiar one, Pato, because it's apparently he missed the second training with illness, but then you read the in the mix who's training well and who's not, blah, 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 at Port Adelaide, and he's not mentioned once with illness. So I'm just a little bit confused.
Yeah, I mean, coming out on a Monday or Tuesday and saying a guy's sick and he was in doubt in the weekend, like, you just don't know. Like, some sicknesses can linger for a couple of weeks, but some can be over in a couple of days if you pump yourself up with enough Codral and whatever. So he may be fine for the weekend. He does play Friday night, though. So at least we'll know nice and early. In a way, Dano, and maybe this is fucked up of me to say, but I kind of hope he does miss.
Yeah, it's going to fuck up so many coaches' plans, and it might help with the rank.
Yeah, because I don't think it was, and I'm not going to sit here and say, haha, I told you so, because obviously people knew the risk, but I just think it was too big of a risk to go from a Grundy or a Marshall down to Sweet to have him as R2. Like,
and we did say, if you look at before that game that Grundy played on the weekend, Grundy at the SCG is averaging 130, and I think he got 140-something against the Giants at the SCG.
143.
Yeah, like, so he's probably averaging 135 now at the SCG. So Grundy and the SCG is a cheat code. So don't trade him out when he's playing at the SCG.
Yeah, so his scores at the SCG this year, 139 in round zero against Melbourne, of all teams. 99 against Essendon, who have been very restrictive to rucks this year. So that's actually a kind of high score against them. 158 against Gold Coast in round six. And, obviously 143 against GWS in round eight. So
fucking hectic.
Yeah, I think you just ride it. He plays at the SCG pretty much every couple of weeks. It could be a luxury trade. Like, if I'm going to try and get Gorn, it would be Grundy to Gorn, but like, that'd be post-buy.
I told you to put this guy down, which is Darcy Wilson from the St Kilda. Now, he's not on an injury list, but I was just watching the replays of the highlights. Mind you, this is how fucked up the highlights reel was. So they put Darcy Wilson down mid to late in the last quarter, getting poleaxed, and struggling to get up down as a high lash. So I just wanted to put him down just to make sure, like, hey, if he does miss, it's probably because the dude got absolutely flattened.
So it's interesting because not even fan footy has him down as being injured or anything like that. So
yeah, he got absolutely annihilated.
I mean, the good thing is I feel like a lot of people have Hugo Garcia, who is his teammate. So should be able to handle that if he's an out or a laid out.
Yeah. Zach Williams, glute test, fuck him off.
Yeah, I think he's got to go. He's playing lockdown anyway. He's not even playing like a roaming halfback role. Nick Newman has that in his pocket at the moment, and Saad's got to come back. Yeah, I think you just fuck him off.
Yeah, fuck him off. Sean Darcy, calf test. Luke Jackson owners probably want to see Sean Darcy not play.
Yep. As he's 485,000 right now.
Yep. Just as I mute myself to cough, so then you don't have to listen to it. then we got James Sicily, ankle/shoulder/every joint in his body test.
Yeah, I thought he was done for when I saw that. I saw it happen live and it did not look good. It was like fully out, but they worked some magic on him and then he came out and did an ankle late. Did finish the game on the ground, kicked a ceiling goal as well. So I'm surprised he didn't get scaled up more, but anyway. But yeah, they have said that he could be in some doubt. So we'll see.
Yep.
If you have Sicily, though, you'd be hoping he plays because they play against St Kilda.
Yeah. Now, the last one that we've got down here, and I had to actually fucking look this bloke up. That's how sick I am right now because I'm like, who the fuck is this guy? Then I realized afterwards, after Paddo explained it, this guy's playing like Gary Ablett. So he put it down as Jake Waterblit, concussion 1 to 2 weeks. And I'm like, who the fuck is this? Then I realized it was Jake Waterman. I didn't even know that this was a thing, Paddo.
Yeah, no, he got concussed very late last week.
So did he get subbed out or?
No, didn't get subbed out. It was that late. They'd already used their sub.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it was very – he got poleaxed by someone. I can't remember who, but it doesn't matter.
Bugger.
Yeah.
No, nope,
so
enough.
He will miss. So unlucky for anyone that did take the risk and bring him in. His last month has been ridiculous, by the way. So hopefully.
He still didn't score bad, did he?
92.
Yeah, like, fuck.
Yeah, you take that in the forward line this year.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's had two scores below 70 all year, and that was against the Giants and Sydney, who are two of the best teams in the league. And he had a 73 against Port Adelaide, and all his other scores have been over 90. So you can't complain about that at all.
No, you can't.
And his run is actually pretty good.
Yep.
And if he misses two games, he misses games against Collingwood and Melbourne, and he comes back for Adelaide, St Kilda, North Melbourne before his bye. So it'll be a cheeky option.
Yeah. I will go to rookie trading options, and the first one is my boy, Darcy Jones, aka Helmet Head. 123K forward, minus 75 break even, 73 average. I went early on this fucker after one game, and I told you guys that if it's between fucking him and Harvey Thomas, Harvey Thomas will be the sub. There's a reason why they were very cautious with Darcy Jones. He could have actually played round one, but then he got glandular fever it was tonsillitis. He got tonsillitis and got a delayed start and then had to build it back up again. So he is that good. He's that live wire that they need up there, and his speed is insane. You think that, like, your Toby Bedfords and Brent Daniels are quick in the forward line, then you see Darcy Jones, and it's fucked up. So anyway, he's the biggest must trade in this round, in my opinion. If you got like a Sam Darcy, I say fuck him off and trade in Darcy Jones.
You don't trade Sam Darcy out before he plays Richmond.
Oh, yeah. He does play for Bevo.
He does.
Anyway, Darcy Jones, what are your thoughts, Paddo?
Yeah, I think if you need the cash, absolutely Darcy Jones is your guy. There's some question marks about his job security. I think now that we've seen him with Toby Green in the team play and still do fine, I think they're playing separate roles. I know he was the replacement for him, but he's looking pretty good. It does kind of go against a Supercoach sort of rule where you don't bring in these forward pocket types, but the Giants are good. They've got a lot of really good key forwards that require a lot of attention. Your Hogans and and Cadman types. So, you know, these guys are left to get the crumbs and do well. He gets a lot of the footy, gets up the ground. Like, I think Jones is a really good option. I'm either trading him in or I'm going with McKercher, but we'll talk about that when we get into trading options.
Yeah.
But yeah, Jones is absolutely one of my options.
I'm going to mention someone that you haven't put on the run sheet, Paddo, because I completely forgot that this bloke has played two games. That's Harvey Harrison of Collingwood. 180K exactly forward. He's got a break even of minus 29 and, oh, fuck, what is his average? That is the question. His average is 65.5, Paddo, and he's got West Coast this week.
So the reason why he didn't make it was because they have a lot of guys that are listed as test or 1 week away. So he who shall not be named is a week away.
Yep.
McCreary is a concussion, so he's one or two away. You got Tom Mitchell, who's a week away. You got Mychek, who's two to three away. I think there's too many guys to come back into that team. Like, he has looked good, but you can't afford another dead rookie. And if you bring him in, you're risking having another rookie that's not playing and not making money.
And that's why we discuss these ones, Paddo, because some people will be looking at him because he's on the bubble. Another one that's on the bubble, Toby Conway, 180K ruck. That's 180K because my nose went weird then. Minus 45 break even, 74 average. You've put him on here, Paddo, as potential cover for Sweet, but I feel like if you've gone all in on Sweet, you're fucked up anyway, and you'd probably have someone like Livingston on your bench or whatnot, and you should be able to swoop him.
Yeah, so
Conway, like Jackson or some shit.
Yeah, Conway's in here for people that have Sweet as R2 and maybe like not able to swing. So, because there's some people that have Sweet and then Naismith as their R2, R3. And
yeah, right.
That is a terrifying thought on behalf of those people. But anyway, so Conway has played every 3 weeks this year. He played round three, round six, and we're coming into round nine. So, he was actually also rested from the VFL this weekend. So I think all signs point to the fact that he will play this weekend and they will rest Stanley. So if you do need someone to come on and have an okay score against whoever Port Adelaide play in the ruck, and that could be Finlayson.
Oh, Jesus.
It could be a decent option to cover that score. I don't know Naismith's price at the top of my head, but it can't be much because he's been putting up fucking stinkers. Shit, yeah, 175K. Yeah. So it cost you 5K, but it could have you avoid a donut. Naismith, I can't see playing this week. It's going to be Samson Ryan, I'm pretty confident, unless they rest Nank for whatever reason. So,
yeah.
It's just an option for people. Like, you bring in a guy that might only play 1 week, but then you've got Sweet, so you've kind of put yourself in that position. So,
And if you are desperate and there's downgrade options, don't do Hardiman in defense. Just because he's cheap, he's basically just Toby pinking it up. And then the other one, I was going to say Toby stinking it up, but pinking it sounds funnier. And then the other one's Cooper Simpson as well. People are looking at him and he's 117K mid forward. Damo, our good friend Damo at the Footy Mailbag, reckons that he's about to go straight back into that sub role again. So, yeah, I'm not that desperate. Are you, Paddo?
No. If I went early on a Jones last week and I was desperate for a downgrade, I would probably risk one of the guys that have only played one game ahead of those guys, personally.
Yep. We'll discuss them. And the first one is my boy, Paddo, from Woodville, West Torrens. It's big Jack Hayes at 228K. He's a forward, minus 26 break even. He's played the one game and got the big 115 now. We've previously spoken about him two seasons ago when he burst onto the scene in the mid-season draft. I think it was a mid-season draft.
No, he was a supplementary.
One or the other. Either
way. He was SSP because he played round one in 2022 when he was in everyone's team. Everyone brought him in after he scored 127 against the Maggies in round one.
Yeah, anyway, we like him because his Sandful scoring was ridiculous. He scored like 170, 180 in the Sandful. So, like, okay, mature body, bring him across. At 228K, and this is my opinion, He's had a season of AFL, then he did that ACL, fucking shattering times. He's worked his way back into it. He's 28, I'm pretty sure, off the top of my head.
Yep, 28.
He, honestly, given how shit the forward line is, you could be picking up a keeper at 228K. That's my opinion, Paddo, but you can afford to wait a week.
Yeah, I think you wait a week and see how he goes against the Hawks. But if he goes 100-plus again, I think, yeah, he'll be pretty popular next week.
He's already being popular now. But, yeah, he needs to do a bit better.
He's like only in 175 teams.
He needs to do a bit better, though, Paddo, because he had 30-something ruck contests attended for, like, only 3 hit-outs.
Yeah, no, he's not a tap ruckman.
Yeah, so he needs to do a bit better with that. Just clean that up just a fraction.
For those that know this guy's game, he's a bit like when Noah Bolter goes into the middle. So he's athletic, won't dominate the hitouts, but when the ball hits the ground, he will pounce on it. He will get tackles. He will get
clearances,
long kicks. He's that sort of ruckman.
And then he goes up forward. And yeah, the man can get above everyone. And he has that ability to time his leap so that his hands meet the ball at like the highest like point of the drop. It's like that uncanny ability. I just, he's great to watch. He's honestly great to watch. If you see him in a one-on-one contest, let's put it this way. If it's Sam Taylor versus Jack Hayes and they're one-on-one, I'm expecting Jack Hayes to fly over the top of Sam Taylor.
Next week it could come to a situation where Powell might put out another 60-odd and you just fuck Powell off for Hayes. You pocket the 200, 250K and then, do what you like with the upgrade.
Yeah. Go on to Lachie Sullivan now, 102K mid, minus 35 break-even. He got the 75. Mature ager, looked good at AFL level, fucking celebrated when he feels dirty celebrating a Collingwood goal, but I celebrated Lachie Sullivan's goal. But the problem with him is he's, as you said earlier, Paddo, they've got so many that are listed as test to 1 week. Will he actually get a regular gig in that team?
So, yeah, that is the million-dollar question. The interesting thing is that he was involved in CBAs, as my app is showing fucked scores, numbers of CBAs.
Because I had no one. Because I had literally no one inside Stakos and Pendlebury.
So he had 43% game time, 9 CBAs, and scored 75.5.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's hard because, those two midfielders are to come back. But
only 43% game time?
Yeah. So he was surely too good to get dropped.
But this screams sub to me.
Maybe.
Like, it sounds like they're worried about his tank. 43%.
So that's why you don't go early on him. You see what happens this week.
Yeah, agreed. I'll go on to Bruce Revel, 102K mid/forward, minus 19 at break even. He got a 59. I saw fucking comments on this guy. People were like, holy fuck, Red Foo's playing AFL. And he got the party started, that's for sure. I think he is going to get games. He's going to get games now. Link McCarthy. I think it was McCarthy and Gardner are now both out for the season with ACL tears, wasn't it? We forgot to mention that. Yeah. So those two are out. That increases the likelihood, I think, of Revel playing. They were pretty hot on him in preseason as well. They were talking him up, the Lions. Our mate Daniel talked him up as well. So, again, it's another one of those wait 1 week, but he's one that I don't mind. He's not going to be a super high scorer like a Will Graham or a freaking Sam Closey or anyone like that, but max out that cashola with 102K in his DPP. But it's a wait 1 week for me.
Yeah, the red flag is that, like, there was a time where they only had one rotation happening in the game because they were that fucked with injuries, and he still only had 60% game time. So the tank must be no good because he's 23 years old.
Yeah.
But I think, I think it'd be a nice downgrade next week. His rock bottom price as well, which is really helpful. At this stage, you can target these rookies that, like, it doesn't matter about them making 250K quickly. Like, you're maximizing the downgrade in order to get upgrades, and Revel will sit on your bench.
Yeah.
And his DPP, which is absolute gold.
Do you reckon his hydration strategy is champagne showers?
No, I just reckon he loves a good toasty in the Breville.
That's so good. Paddo, you've outdone yourself there. That was brilliant.
Always.
That was brilliant. Now for the guy that I thought you misspelled his name, Cal Shadia. his parents would have been high. Sure.
I would hope the mum wasn't.
Fuck.
Giving birth.
Well, do you think it was easier for like the grandmother when she goes, Cal Shadia, can you pass me the mayonnaise? Anyway, 117K forward, minus 10 break even, 56 he scored. I got no idea who this fucker is, so bad that you put him on there.
So pretty much replaced Chol as that sort of key forward. It's interesting that he didn't play as the backup ruck. Nash actually played as the backup ruck,
right,
who was a big midfielder. So maybe just a change of structure there. Chol is listed as 1 to 2 weeks, so there is a red flag there. But just one to keep on your radar for next week, see how he goes this week in a loss, and yeah, go from there.
Yep. Now, Paddo's put down on the run sheet for everyone to just make sure that you're checking your buy round structures so you're not a particular buy round heavy. I'm just quickly going through it now. I have one buy round in particular that looks a little bit scary, but we will cross that bridge when it comes to it because it's the second last buy round.
As long as it's not round 12, you're okay.
Now, I've seen some teams with a lot in round 13, which kind of intrigues me because it's only two teams on the bye then.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah. No, my round 12 looks absolutely fine. It's round 14 where I look a little bit iffy, but we can fix that. Now we will go into trade-in mode. So we'll start with defensive trade-ins. Now, if you pick this fucker up at the low 400K range, good on you. That's Bailey Dale, 532K. 96 average, 10% owned, 55 break even, 3-round average of 141. He's got Richmond this week. The only thing that could really fuck people up right now is if Bevo gets the sack in the next round or two.
Yeah.
Touch wood. Actually, no, not touch wood. Fuck Bevo off. Anyway, Bailey Dale, Paddo.
Yeah, so I was really hot on him until yet today when I started thinking about trades and thought maybe I'll play it safe and bring in Parrish instead of Dale. But fuck, Dale's going to go 150 this week.
Yep. You said but fuck, and that's what he'll do to Richmond.
Yep.
Yep.
And still no one will go within 20 metres of him.
He did push up forward in the fourth quarter, Paddo. So is
he did that. He did that the week before as well.
So is there cause for concern that if they're struggling against Richmond, he'll push forward again?
You can't say struggling against Richmond in a sentence and be serious.
Well, didn't a team just struggle against Richmond?
No.
I'm pretty sure.
Freo pumped us. Sorry, no, Luke Ryan pumped us.
No, round 7. Oh, no, yeah, Melbourne ran away with that one. Yep.
No, it's still crazy. Richmond beats Sydney, and that's
yeah, what the
time
fuck?
Sydney have lost, but every other week we haven't looked close to winning, even against West Coast, so...
Disgusting.
Very.
Yeah, we'll move on. Now, this is the one that a lot of people are asking about. Luke Ryan, 644K, 134 average, 15% owned, 64 break even. If you have, I'm like, if you got Yo, trade him straight to Luke Ryan. But if you, let's say, you look at it and you've got someone like Tom Green, do you bite the bullet, even though Tom Green might only miss a week, do you bite the bullet and make Luke Ryan a priority? Now, the reason why I ask this is because our mate King Supercoach brought up a very, very, very good point, and I'm just going to get it up now. So bear with me. Do-do-do-do-do. Live podcasting for you all. So he says, this is what he says. Picking a guy at 650,000 or higher almost never works out. So he started Bont and Dacos, and then he picked up English at a high price as well. He said he's scared of the Saints matchup in not this round, but next round, and what he will do. But he personally is going to bet against Ryan. So it's very, very interesting. What are your thoughts, Paddo?
So my thoughts on that That I think Luke Ryan gets tagged this week.
Yep.
And he'll probably still score 70. He'll probably still get his break even.
Yep.
Then he has the Saints, and it's like very well documented. He had 171 against them last year. I can see a similar thing happening this year.
Now,
then he plays Collingwood, who have been giving up big scores to defenders.
Yep.
Then he plays Melbourne, who have also been giving up good scores, big scores to defenders. Then he has the round 13 bye, which is very helpful because only two teams are on that bye. Then he plays Gold Coast, who have been giving up big scores to defenders. Then he plays Sydney again. So we'll chalk that down as another bit of a tag job. Then he has the Tigers in round 17, and like the run home is nice as well. So I feel like this guy gets away from people. I can see the logic in not wanting to pay out, but this will lose you league matchups if that's your priority. This will lose you rank if that is also your priority, because if you are one of the 85% of teams that don't have Luke Ryan and you're seeing him in leagues, it's hard to keep up with. I think...
So do you trade a Tom Green out?
Probably. I mean, there's merit in that because Tom Green has a high break even, and I wish I'm just looking it up now. So Tom Green has a break even of 144, and he's 541K. So you've got to find 100K, but a high break even. Tom Green also has a buy in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
So there's time to get Tom Green back in. And I am looking at that Geelong matchup and thinking that that is classic tag territory. Then he's got the Hawks after the bye. So you could probably tell, and then Port Adelaide, then Sydney. So that is a really, really tough post-bye run. Then it clears up and it goes Adelaide, Carlton, Richmond, Gold Coast, Melbourne, Hawthorn. Like, it's a pretty good run after that. So I would probably advocate for Green out, Ryan in, especially if Green's out this week. I would even possibly suggest that people could look at Sheasel to Ryan and finding 30K there.
Right.
And I want to trade Sheasel out. I can't. I can't find a way to make it work. And he is going to bleed cash.
Unless he gets back to that halfback role. But do you see that happening anytime soon?
Well, I hope not, because I think I'm bringing in McKercher. So I hope not. They've just got to fucking drop Fisher, and then we're laughing because Sheasel and McKercher get to slide it off of halfback.
Yeah, yeah. I'll move on. Tom Stewart, 523K, 98 average, 20% owned, 132 break even. Now, we're talking about him. It's the cheapest he's been. He might drop it even further in price. But like guys like Guthrie and Holmes taking some of that usage, Paddo, is Stewart necessarily a must-have this round, or can you wait a week, or can you even fade him?
I think you can fade him. Now, I started Tom Stewart, and I wasn't mad at his scores. Then he got injured, and I traded him straight out on his injury. He hasn't shown the ceiling that he has in previous years. Like, he was a guy that went 150 every now and then because he was just that only – he was the Luke Ryan of Geelong, like, just getting everything. Yep. And they've changed up their structure a bit. Holmes has gone back there. Zach Guthrie's kind of been groomed into that role as well to take over from Stewart. I think you can avoid him. I think there's some really good options outside of Stewart that are in not many teams.
Yep.
I look at a Jack Sinclair, who is probably not quite ready to get picked off, although it does have the Hawks this week. But I think, yeah, Jack Sinclair off his bye could be really nice.
Yep.
As a guy that I would probably put ahead of Tom Stewart.
Yeah, okay. Well, you mentioned Colby McKercher earlier. So he's 309K, 74 average, 30% owned, minus 61 break even. He's got a 98 average with injury and midfield game taken away. He's scoring absolutely filthy now he's been moved back to defense. If you traded him out, would it be okay to trade him back in from like a Roberts down to a McKercher, pocket you the cash, but could potentially get yourself a D6 keeper?
That's exactly what I'm looking at doing.
Cool, same, because I'm looking at the same thing.
Yep. And worst case scenario, if he has another role change, you enjoy some price rises and you flick him on after his round 12 bye.
Yep.
And that's not the end of the world. Like, he's got a negative 61 break even.
Yeah. Sweet.
And we saw Sheasel in this role last year as a rookie do absolutely fine. And he was a keeper, if anything.
Yep. Yeah, agreed. Nick Martin, 593K, 111 average, 23% owned, 91 break even. Looks like a top six defender, Paddo. I'm not concerned about Ridley coming back, but you keep putting it on the run sheet that you're concerned about Ridley coming back. So why are you concerned?
I just think he could take some usage away from the halfback guys, Martin, McGrath, etc. But yeah, Martin looks like he's establishing himself as a top six guy. And he's still under 600K, but won't be for much longer because he's got the Giants this week, which isn't an easy matchup per se, but then he goes North Melbourne and Richmond. So it'd be very difficult not owning him against those two teams.
Yeah. So now we'll go for a POD and a budget guy here, Paddo. So the POD is Nick Newman, 515K, 96 average, 1% owned, 63 break even. He's got a 3-round average of 115. Is it sustainable, though, because you've got guys like Saad coming back soon?
Yeah, I mean, his scoring did go up once Saad went out of that team. And McGovern, I think he went out as well. This is a weird one because his scoring wasn't horrible before Saad went out. He did have a 56 against North Melbourne, but whatever. He probably just didn't care. This is a guy that averaged 110-odd last year, I think, from memory.
Yeah, maybe.
And he was still only in a few percent of teams. Like, he just wasn't an attractive pick last year. And he just kind of quietly does his thing and does well in it. So he's a big POD, 1% of teams. I think he could do worse for 515K.
Yeah. And then the last one in defense we got is Jaden Short, 384K, 77 average, 1% owned, 89 break even. You got 115 last round. But budget guy, you still actually make money by downgrading a Roberts to him. But I feel like with a break even of 89, you can leave it for a week and just see whether he can back it up again. He did take a lot of more kickouts than normal, Paddo, from when, what's that fucker that breaks down all the time?
Loston.
Loston started taking him. So it looks like that Jaden Short has them back again.
Yeah, so the break even's high because he had that 15 against West Coast where he was subbed off in the first quarter. So Jaden Short's one of my favourite players. I'm a big Richmond fan for those that may not know, but I can't trade into this risk. But in saying that, 380K is ridiculously cheap. And if you're bringing him in maybe as a D6-7 swing with a McKercher type, I don't hate it. But I feel like there's enough value around this week where you don't have to go for that sort of player.
Yeah, fair enough. I'll move on to the midfield. Don't have too many mids this time around, but we're going to have probably two primos, a fallen primo and a budget mid-price slash fallen primo. Hello. So we'll start with the Bont at 623K, 119 average, 50% of the comp owns him, 111 break even. I feel like if you're one of the 50% that don't have the Bont, now is the time to strike. What are your thoughts, Paddo?
Yeah, I agree. And I know you had this question, I think, privately, but Tate, who is our highest ranked listener in our league, he's ranked 31st. He doesn't have Bontempelli in his team. And I think he needs to change that. I don't think he'll be any cheaper for the rest of the year.
Yeah. He messaged me privately about that, and that's when I messaged you. I'm like, he needs the Bont, doesn't he? And you're like, yep. And I'm like, just messaging back saying, get the Bont.
Yeah, so he averages 128 against Richmond, which is not too bad.
I can see a big 150 or some shit.
Yeah, so can I. So I think this is the week to bring him in. That break-even is more than achievable. I don't know why Supercoach have him as a 59% chance of reaching that because I don't know if they know that he's playing Richmond and, yeah, no. I don't want to say it's now or never because that's not the case, but he's 101,000 cheaper than what he was at the start of the year, and if you didn't start him because of the price, here's your Bont at 623K. Just do it. Just like me last week with Dacos, like, he was under 600K, sure, but, like, just do it. There's a time where the price is right and the price is right.
Yeah, agreed. We'll move on to Chocky Neal, which is Lockie Neal, 595K, 118 average, Paddo, 3% owned, POD territory max. He's got 100 break even. Is it because of his age or something that people are just not considering him? Like 3% no. is fucked.
No. So
he's had the one score below 109.
Yeah, it's because of the round two bye. That's why he is in that few teams. And he's also got the round 12 bye. So he does have a bye in 3 weeks. But he's going under the radar something. No, it's not.
Yeah, round
12 is Sydney and Melbourne. And
oh, yeah, sorry, sorry.
That's not the goodbye at all.
I was thinking of Port and Freo, wasn't I?
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
But yeah, one score below 109 all year, and that was a 71 against the Giants, one of the best midfields in the comp. So, yeah, flying under the radar. He's not getting tagged either, which was always kind of the red flag with Lachie Neale. Maybe that changes soon. He does have Hawthorn soon. But I think this is maybe one you target after the bye.
Yep, fair enough. Clayton Oliver, 476K, 90 average, 3% owned, 48 break even. We got that big 140 plus score against Carlton. We did say wait until after he gets off his rest from that thumb surgery, because he still looked okay, but he didn't like bending down to pick up the ball like he normally would with that hand. Now he looks fine. So maybe he is over that thumb issue, Paddo.
Yeah, and Geelong are typically pretty hard to score against as well, and he managed to do very, very well. So, yeah, I think this is the time for Oliver. I was 2 weeks a bit early, a week early, bringing him before the Richmond matchup. But, yeah, if you had told me you'd get Clayton Oliver at 476,000 and he's not 35 years old, then I'd think you're fucking sharing some nasal powders with him. I think this is too cheap to ignore. Coming up against a team that he averaged 123 against in 9 games, and his last three are 128, 126, 140 against Carlton. I think you just do it. Then he plays West Coast, then he plays St Kilda, who he also has a really good record against. So I think you do it.
Yeah, sorry, I said he played Carlton, but he played Geelong. My bad. Darcy Parrish is the last one in the mids, 528K, 95 average, 1% owned, 28 break even, 3 round average of 119. I said strike last week because I remember when we were like, as soon as that Anzac game comes into play, it'll snap him into form. I stand by that, and he's gone back-to-back tons. He's got Giants, North, Richmond, and Gold Coast coming up too, Paddo. So,
I'm annoyed at myself. I said before the Anzac game that I didn't, because that was the week I had some bad news. But the week before that, I said I'm going to give him one more week. That's his 4 weeks, and then bring him in before the Collingwood game. And I went against that and went Oliver instead. In hindsight, obviously, Parrish would have been better, but we can't always live in Captain Hindsight's wonderful magic land. I think I'm going to bring in Parrish this week, Dono. So he got to 105 minutes played on the weekend against West Coast, up from sort of 80 to 90 odd before that. So that's a really good indicator that his fitness is good. I know that was a close game, so that could have also come into it. But so it was a Collingwood game. You can't get much closer than that. And he only played 81 minutes in that game. But, yeah, as you said, the Giants this week is a nice matchup. He only averages 86 against them, but I can't remember his name, but the tagger doesn't play for GWS anymore.
Oh, De Boer.
Yeah, Matt De Boer. But yeah, I actually like the GWS matchup this week at Marvel for Parrish. And then, North Melbourne, Richmond, Gold Coast, Carlton.
He's also got Adam Kingsley as a coach with the Giants, so they don't believe in taggers anymore.
Yeah, that's the Richmond philosophy. It's the Dimmer philosophy. So, I think I'm going to go Parrish this week.
Yep, fair. Forward line. Now we've got starting with Dane Zorko, 559K, 109 average, 7% owned, 102 break even. Can we keep ignoring him, Paddo? He had that one down game where he played fucking 50 bajillion different positions. Then he's back to, halfback flank or whatever and gets 40 disposals.
Yeah, I'm not sure you can keep ignoring this.
Yeah.
It's giving me the vibe of when what's his name? The North Melbourne ex-cap, Jack Zeebel, went to halfback and me and you, we both kept ignoring him because he was old and he had injury histories. And
yeah,
Zeebel just kept smashing it out, smashing it out, smashing it out. And I think this will be the same sort of situation. So it's difficult because he's another one with that round 12 bye. So I think you wait until after the bye to pick him up, but he does have Adelaide and Richmond his next two. So they are juicy matchups.
The next one we got is Dylan Moore at 521K, 94 average, 1% owned, 21 break even. They have a three round average of 131. Now, Pato, can I just say, I get a message from Tate saying, fuck the Fife news. What do? I might trade him. He's like, do I go Dylan Moore? I said, yes. Boom. Got ridiculous score. So I said to Tate, I'm like, look, Tate, I'll take a six pack of cider when you win the 50K. He goes, I'll be getting you boys more than just a six pack. So he's very happy with Dylan Moore. And look, a 21 break even, 521K. He will have a down game, I feel, Dylan Moore. But when the fuck's it going to come?
Yeah, I think he's looking really good now after his glandular fever issues in the preseason. Three scores in a row now of, 116, 136, 140. Obviously very juicy. Got the round 15 bye as well, which is pretty handy for most teams, I feel. He's now the eighth ranked forward in terms of average. That is behind Jake Abletman and... Harry Mackay as well, and Jack Hayes, who's just played the one game. So he's very much in that top six range. Looking at Tate's team, I don't know if he's asked a question or not, but I feel like it's primary season for you, Tate.
Yeah, I think it might be for him.
It's got to be Bont.
Yep. Jack McRae, sorry. 489K, 78 average, 7% owned, 118 break-even. Now, Libba out indefinitely, you'd think that he gets those midfield minutes more so now, Pato. How did he look in the midfield?
Apparently Jack McRae tried to fuck Bevo himself. So I don't know what the issue is there. I think if Riley Sanders comes into the team, you can be nervous and probably shouldn't trade in McRae. But if it's someone else, if it's like a Caleb Daniel or anyone else really, and it looks like McRae will play midfield, I think this is a very juicy price for him.
And then we got Isaac Rankin, 497K, 93 average, 5% owned, 77 break even. Has West Coast and Richmond coming up, Pato?
Yep, I think this is a really nice price. He's gone away from that inconsistent scoring, the almost Shea Bolton-like scoring, if you like. So he's showing that his floor games are a bit more bearable, especially in this year's forward line. So I think it's really good. Brisbane and Collingwood in his next two, but then, West Coast, Hawthorn, Richmond, which is nice and juicy before his round 15 bye. As Dano's probably having a coughing fit.
Yep, agreed. I was just having a coughing fit, but I'll edit that out. So now we move on to question time, Pato. And I've got a couple of DMs, so I'm going to bring up the DMs first. So this one's from Sam, Pato. He goes, question, I have both Libba and Green. Do I move one of them on, as it's a lot of money to be sitting on the bench? That's his first question. I say yes, and it's got to be Libba.
Sorry, say the question again. I was reading something.
So he has both Libba and Green. Does he move one of them on, as it's a lot of money to be sitting on the bench? I say yes, Libba. And it's got to be Libba.
Libba, yeah.
Because he's out indefinitely, however long that is. If he retires, just fuck him off now. His second question. Is McKercher worth jumping back on with Shees moving up the ground? Yes.
Yes.
110% yes.
That's what we're both looking at doing, if that's any indication.
Yeah. And then third question he's got is Sexton the new Constable? Plays two games at the start of the year and then nothing for the rest.
So I actually have some mail on this, Dano.
Ooh.
So, and I wish I could credit who I saw this from or see if I'm still on my... Yes, it is. So, someone by the name Mikey Arnhem. Now, I don't know who this person is. They have a Gold Coast Suns flag in their picture. So
that says a lot.
Says that he's a fan that maybe went and watched training. But Alex Sexton played off halfback for the Suns today. Long also went into defense with Lukosius back to a forward role. Dimmer seems to have swung the changes.
At training,
and I think Flanders also might have gone into the midfield again. So
yeah, okay.
That could make Sexton a trade-in option, don't know, at about 180K. He's been very good in the VFL.
Yep, yep. We'll move on. Facebook question. So we've got Baden, who says, Jake Soligoat, nice, is he worth a look in at just under 500K, and do we think Tom Powell is back to his mid-roll? So Soligo at just under 500K, Paddo, yes or no?
I'm going to say no. The scoring isn't quite what it needs to be. He had 146 on the weekend, but the 3 weeks before that, he went in the 90s. So it's just not enough. If he was a forward, then yeah, maybe even if he's a defender, it's looking pretty good on the roll. But it's a no from me because it's just like having another Crouch where he'll get 120s, but he'll get 80s. So no from me in terms of – who was the other guy? Just looking at this.
Oh, no, he was just talking about Tom Powell.
Tom Powell. Yeah, look, Will Phillips was their best on ground in the VFL. They're shit no matter who plays in that midfield. I'm going to say no. I think jump off.
Yep, fair. Liam says, I'm in a world of hurt bringing in Green last week. Oh, that is shattering.
So I actually need to jump in here and apologize to Liam because Liam actually DM'd our Facebook and he heard our feedback about Dawson and heard that we were both kind of against Dawson. So he asked, who do we think instead? And I asked if he had Tuke, Tom Green, or Rory Laird. And he said he has Tuke, but didn't have Green or Laird. So I said, if you can get to Green, I would go him. So, of course, he brought in Tom Green and the rest was history.
It's just unlucky.
Yeah, it still wasn't the wrong move. I messaged him Sunday night with the emoji of like the hands over the eyes. I do want to apologize, Liam, but it's not like you're bringing in Elliot Yeo, who I would not have suggested. It's very unlucky. And luckily, it's not like a broken ankle or the old Cindy Moses. That is all the rage lately. So he could even play this week and it'd be okay. But yeah, it doesn't help the five on field, which is fucking brutal.
Yeah. Who does he flick him to? Because it sounds like he wants to flick him on. If he plays, keep him. I reckon if he's got one game off, you've got to still keep him.
It might depend on bench cover as well. Because if you're covering him with,
I'm just going to say something. Gold Coast play North Melbourne. So if you've got the chance to put a Will Graham or a Sam Closey or both on field, fucking do it.
That's if they play. They got spanked.
They'll play. Surely.
Maybe.
Surely.
If in a hypothetical word, if Liam really wants to trade, maybe he's got 25 trades, don't know, and he's happy to use one. I think the best options are Parrish or Oliver.
I got a question for you, Paddo.
Yeah.
How many trades do you have after your trades this week? I'm curious.
19.
Ooh, I'm still on 24, but I'm going to probably use two this week.
I say that. I've got 17 keepers, potentially 18 if you call them that five-foot keeper. So I'm not too far away from completing my team by the buys.
Let me see my line. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. Do you call Harley Reid a keeper?
I don't have Harley Reid.
Would you call him a keeper?
No.
I got 17.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, I was just intrigued by the trade situation, what everyone else's trades are like at the moment.
Yeah, there's a lot of variety and there's people, like, we'll know at the end of the year what was the right play. I think being aggressive is the play this year with so many extra trades. It's just, nailing the right people at the right time. Hayden Young out trading out in theory was bad, but I got into Luke Ryan, which is good. I also traded out Nick Martin, which in hindsight was probably pretty bad, but I turned him into Caleb Sarong. I think I'm pretty happy with that as well.
As I have another coughing fit. My strategy of holding off on trades and giving everyone three games has worked out in my favour at the start of the year, whereas everyone else was trigger happy. So I've got the extra trades now and I didn't have to trade in a Nick Martin or a Hayden Young like other people are doing, or trading them out and then back in because I just kept them the whole time. I was just intrigued.
McKercher back in, I think.
Yeah, McKercher's the only one, or if not maybe Jaden Short after another week's worth of data.
But in this role, McKercher probably is a keeper.
Yep. Yep. No. Agreed. Agreed. We'll move on. So we've got Peter from Nerds for Life Supercoach. He said he's given like an image, and he said thoughts. So he's given us two trades. Oh, sorry. Yeah. So it's trading out Sam Darcy and Matt Roberts and trading in Oliver and Stewart. Now, he said, thoughts or I bring in Neil? And he actually says it's better for his buyers and still sub 600K this week for Roberts. And he said, only need one trade to do this because of cash in the bank. Hold Darcy a week against the Tigers and next week look into Houston for Darcy and Closey. The second option means he misses out on Oliver and then he has to field one less primo this week. Houston probably averages more than Stewart and Neil more than Oliver, but requires patience. Houston is probably better for buyers too. So would you go the first option or the second option, Pato?
Why don't you just go Roberts to Oliver? Because I don't Tom Stewart as an option.
Yeah, I agree with you there.
The only other thing I can think of to suggest would be if you can use DPP and have your trade-ins as Oliver and Parrish, I really like that. Parrish is about the same price as Stewart.
Yeah, I think you might already have him.
Parrish is 528.
Yeah. I'm just going to go over to X, formerly known as Twitter. Where the fuck is it? Where is your post, Pato? We had no one, not even Scobie, fucking comment on Twitter. So there you go.
Too busy jerking it over Nick Dacos kicking that goal.
Yeah, pretty much. Anyway, Pato, we're not called the Supercoach co-captains for nothing because every week we give our listeners VC and C options to set their team apart from the rest.
Like Luke Ryan. I actually had someone reach out to me and say that they captained him on my suggestion from last week. So
how was the circle jerk afterwards?
Oh, it was great. It was great because we had 394 circle jerks.
Nice. That's a lot of cum. That's
one for every one of his points, by the way, that we got. So
I gathered that. anyway, so we got Thursday night's game. The teams would have already been out for this one, Pato. Has there been any carnage for this game?
Because we didn't even see because I got home from work and I jumped.
Oh, here we go. Well, Zach Williams is out, so there you go. Horacio Fantasia is omitted, Cunningham omitted, and Lewis Young omitted. They brought back in for Carlton Brody Kemp, Mitch McGovern, Ollie Hollins, and Jack Martin. Interesting. And then Melbourne have in Jake Bowie, out Bailey Laurie. Bailey Laurie is the kind of guy that's like too good for VFL, but just can't crack it at AFL level consistently.
So what's interesting is that Matt Kennedy has been named in the midfield. So he might do a tag job, maybe. And Hewitt and Chair have both been named on the bench. So I think, with Walsh last week, he scored sub 100 with Chair in the team. And that's why I was not keen to bring him in. So,
Carlton versus Melbourne. Who you got, VC?
I don't know if you could VC him, but Clayton Oliver has a great record against Carlton.
You know what? Fuck it. Yeah, you could.
But I think the more logical option, and I don't have him, but Max Gawn.
Pitnett's playing, isn't he?
No, I think he's out.
Is he?
Oh, no. Yeah, Pitnett's playing, so maybe not.
So Pitnett restricts Max Gawn?
Yeah.
So Grundy didn't play last round 22 in 2023, and Gawn got 84 points.
So, yeah, that's perfect for me as a non-Gawn owner. Happy with that one.
Yeah. And then round 12, 2023, he got 103. But I think that's when Grundy might have played in the team. I could be wrong, though. But either way, I'm actually not liking Gawn as a VC this week. His break-even's 133 too, Pato.
Yeah, there you go. Same as his average. Yeah.
Petrarca's been pretty shit.
Yeah, he's getting tagged a lot. So I don't know if I like anyone in this game, honestly.
I actually like Oliver.
Not sure you could VC him. I VC'd him against Richmond and I probably shouldn't have.
Yeah, but you got the one game data now.
True.
And it was a very good game.
I just think there's better options in later games.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. Friday, we have two games. Oh, by the way, this is the first round of the season where all top eight teams are playing each other and all bottom 10 teams are playing each other.
Oh, yeah, because Collingwood at ninth.
Yep.
There you go.
Fun fact for you there.
There you go.
So Friday, the first game we have at 7:10 p.m. Is Geelong versus Port Adelaide. There's a 1 hour, 20 minute separation between these games, by the way, on the Friday night. So
yeah, I wouldn't be seeing in both of these games. I'd be picking one.
Fucking Zach Butters is in some form, even when his team plays shit.
Yeah, I like Butters as well, especially without Rosie.
Yeah.
But it is down in Geelong.
I don't think it matters with Butters.
Yeah.
He's one that I'm just regretting not starting because I was just afraid of that preseason lack of game. Should have just started him. Yeah, I'm all on Butters here. Don't really like anyone else.
Yeah, fair.
Yep. And then 8:30 p.m. we got at Optus Stadium, Fremantle versus Sydney. Do you do a Luke Ryan VC?
No. Because
my thing on it is, yeah, they did a tag on Lockie Whitfield, but Luke Ryan doesn't rely on run and gun for his points. You can't tag a kick in. You can't tag an intercept mark. And I know you're going to bring up fucking Jacob Townsend or something like that, but you can't tag an intercept mark, Paddo.
No, but you can restrict it.
So, and
you can restrict the chip mark long kick stuff that he gets his points in. So I don't like Luke Ryan. I don't ever like Caleb Sarong in this game. I feel like both of them will get nullified. I think McInerney probably goes to Sarong or James Jordan, but James Jordan will probably go to Luke Ryan.
Yep.
I like Isaac Heaney in this game. It is in Perth, though, so that is a little bit risky over there. But Freo haven't really seemed to tag much this year.
Yep.
And it's a VC, so you can probably afford to.
You know who has a very good record against Fremantle?
Who?
Do we finally see a 100-plus score away from the SCG? Brody Grundy.
We could.
I mean, the ground would suit him more.
There was talk that Laddams could come in, though.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
But that could also help Grundy because he's a bit fresher.
Yeah.
You won't have to know that he's playing basically 95% of the game in the ruck, so he can go a bit harder in contests. And yeah.
But can I also say something?
Yeah, that's what we're here to do.
Errol Goulden getting the fucking medal in the Battle of the Bridge was fucking robbery. He was like the 11th highest scoring Supercoach player, and he got the fucking medal. Now, I know it's not based on Supercoach scores, but that's fucked.
Yeah, he had 10 clangers.
And he got the medal.
Went at 51%.
And he got the fucking medal. Well, yeah. And I thought that Will Hayward had it in the bag.
Yeah, Hayward had it.
Destroyed.
Yeah.
Yeah. But looking at Errol, he's going to be dropping a bit more soon too.
Yeah, I'm not sure I love the role though. And Parker could come back into that team as well. So
he will be. He had 35 and a goal in the VFL.
So maybe Heaney VC isn't a good call. I'd forgot about Parker.
No, I think Parker's going to be fine. He'll be up forward and in the middle rather than they're not going to take Heaney's role away from him while they're flying, pardon the pun because they're Swans, while they're flying and he's in Brownlow medal contention.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see.
Anyway, Saturday, Hawthorn versus St Kilda at 1:45 p.m. at University of Tasmania Stadium.
Like Sicily if he plays?
I don't like anyone at all. I don't like anyone.
What about Jack Steele on a smaller ground against a slower midfield?
Yeah. Yeah, well, like Steele's flopped a little bit, hasn't he?
Yeah. He had 112, so you probably want to see a big score before you can back him into VC, but...
Well, I don't mind it because you've got a ridiculously good C option on the Saturday night.
I think, yeah.
Ridiculously good. And even on the Sunday as well.
Yeah, I'm waiting for Saturday night for my VC.
Yeah, okay. So I'll skip that game. Then we'll go to Essendon versus the Giants, 4:35 p.m. Marvel Stadium. Mind you, Paddo, I've only gone to 2 Giants games this year, both losses. So well, I'm going to go to the Essendon game because if they fucking lose to Essendon, I know it's me.
Can you go to the Richmond game?
Fuck off. Yeah, so I'm going to go to this one, and if they lose, you all listeners can blame me. Anyway, Darcy Parrish. Zachy
yeah, Merritt. Parrish or Merritt, I like both of those guys.
Nicky Martin.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't really like any Giants in this one.
No, someone will pop off, but we just, I mean, it could be a Josh Kelly type, but no one's got Josh Kelly, but he'll probably like it at Marvel Stadium indoors. He can wear long sleeves and be a bitch.
Can I just say someone, I just want to mention someone that's actually having a somewhat breakout year, or breakout last two games. Do you know who I'm referring to?
Heatlin.
No, Finn Callahan.
That guy needs to find himself a midfield role somewhere like Richmond.
Well, 114 against Brisbane and 107 against Sydney in a ridiculously wet encounter. So, yeah, he's had back-to-back tons. I'd like to see another back. Like, I'd like to see back-to-back-to-back tons. Not a VC, though. I just thought I'd point that out. No Giants in this one for me. Richmond versus Bulldogs. This is the one. This is the one, Paddo. Now, unfortunately, the Richmond versus Western Bulldogs game is on at the exact same time as the Suns versus North game. So if you're going to VC in one of these games, you can't VC into a C, is what I'm getting at, sorry. So we'll go to the first one, Richmond versus Western Bulldogs. We're talking about the Bont. It won't surprise me if he goes 150-odd.
Yeah, Bont and Dale, I think, will both go 150-plus. Wouldn't shock me if Tim English doesn't get close to that as well.
Doesn't or does?
Does, yeah. Wouldn't shock me if he does get close to that. I think those three all go nuts.
Yeah. I just think stick to those three. Be vanilla.
Yeah, which is a shame because I liked some really good options in this other game as well. But, yeah, you can't avoid the Dogs players.
Yep. And then the other game.
I just want to say, if you've got Dale and Bontempelli, VC Dale.
Really?
Yeah, 100%.
Fuck, okay. Okay.
I know I want to bring in Dale, but I'm not sure if I can trust Bevo for the season, so that's why I'm not. I'm playing it more safe by getting in Parrish, who's not moving out of the midfield, but...
Yeah. So the game on at the same time is Suns versus North. I think the one projected for the most is actually Flanders.
Yeah, and I read somewhere, and I wish I could credit this, so again, I'm sorry, but I read somewhere that... Flanders' tag has been floated.
Like him tagging?
So, no, being tagged.
Oh, yeah.
I will say that at TIO Stadium, which is where this game is being played up in the territory, Tuke Miller averages 126 in three games.
Nice.
Including, 160-odd in his last time there, 167, if you don't mind.
Okay. Yep.
So I don't mind him as a VC option against North. North don't really have any answer for him. Flanders, I guess, wouldn't be a horrible VC, but I just, if there's rumour of a tag, then I wouldn't be touching it.
Yeah. I'm just looking at Rowell's history because he would have scored pretty decent. Oh, yeah. Okay, so Rowell's history against North, 131, 124, 125.
Yeah. So if you've got Raoul, I think that's a nice VC as well. But I still wouldn't put him ahead of the Dogs guys.
No, 100%.
Even English.
Cool. Now, the thing with the VC side of things, Paddo, is we've only got the two games on the Sunday, which is Collingwood versus West Coast and Adelaide versus the Lions. So if you got Livingston, you need, and you got him in the ruck line, you're fucked. But if you got Livingston up forward...
You just field him and have your ruck as emergency.
But you'd be using him as the C.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no, I see what you mean. Yeah, okay. Never mind, I fucked up.
you've been looping long?
Been looping for. I'm sick. That's my excuse.
Like, Livingston is on field for me. Granted, it's in the forward line, but he's on field for me right now.
Yeah, fair. Sunday, we have at 1 p.m. Collingwood versus
Nick Dacos.
Gotta be Nick Dacos.
Averages 124 against West Coast in two games.
Gotta be Nick Dacos. Anyone else, or can we move on?
No, we can probably move on.
Last game, 4 p.m. Adelaide versus Brisbane at Adelaide Oval. I like me some Chockey Neal if you've got him.
Yeah, I don't mind either of Neal or Dunkley if you are one of the few teams that have either of them.
Yep.
Yeah, I can't really think of anyone else, to be honest. But yeah,
No one
the
that I
two.
could put confidence in putting as the
No,
C.
not for a captain, no.
No. All right, Pato, what is your ex formerly known as Twitter handle?
It's at PATTOSCCC.
Mine is at DANEOSCCC. Podmasters and whatnot, there's things going on. I haven't actually checked how we're going in that.
Well, I got the weekly in that this week as well.
Yeah, I'm just trying to see our head-to-heads. Because I started slow, but I was backing my strategy. So I'm sitting seventh at the moment in the Podmasters. From third down to seventh are all on 20 points. Then second and first are on 24 points. Hello.
Is this the overall league or?
Now, this is the AFL Podmasters League, the one
Oh,
where
sorry.
we had to pick which one of us was going in it.
Yeah, so I'm in seed two. I'm sitting seventh.
So you're sitting seventh in seed two.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. And my projected this week is to lose by 2 points to Geordie from Supercoach Masters. But I haven't done any trades yet, and I haven't even hit optimize, so
You're in seed two as well.
I'm in both. You're right.
No, you're not meant to be. You fucking didn't read the instructions.
Whoops.
Dickhead. Were you sick then as well?
Nah. Look at
Yeah.
the difference between my seed two and my fucking normal one. Imagine taking out the normal one and not qualifying in seed two.
What's your rank?
Let's
I
have a
can look it
quick
up.
squeeze.
4K. Because I'm only 30 points behind you and I'm 5K rank behind you, so.
Yeah, because I had the disastrous last round.
Yeah, so
I only
things could
scored
change very
2,210,
quickly.
all thanks to fucking Tom Green. Oh, there you go. If I actually switch, if I hit optimize, because I got Tom Green on the field right now. There you go. I'm 2,444 projected, so I'm going to beat my opponent by 100. But I think that's still wrong because I don't think he's optimized either.
So it's very close. To give perspective, I'm only at 95 or so points behind. Wait, no, that's not right. Yeah, it is.
Not first.
Yeah.
The leader of Supercoach.
Oh no, it's 1,000.
Your whole 1,000 points.
Let's just edit that bit out.
Nah, that's staying in there. But a lot can change. Yeah, a lot can change. I'm hoping that the late season surge for me, like if I hold on to my trades and there's a late season surge and like there's carnage and I can just trade primos out because I've got full primo, you know. I'm hoping that that comes into play at some stage. Because I think this is the first year where there hasn't been much carnage of like the primos that everyone has. I think the first one's Tom Green or Connor Rosie, actually. Even not many people had Connor Rosie too. So yeah, I'm waiting for that carnage to happen at some point. Be interesting. Anyway, Pato, from us at the Supercoach Co-Captains, I'm Dano,
And I'm Pato.
and this is us signing.
The fuck off.